opinions of the guest and host you here on 1010 WOLB
are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio 1, its sponsors, or advertisers.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out.
Ooh. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to WOLB 1010 AM Talk Radio, featuring Team Radio Baltimore. This is Carol Mileta, your host of Parenting 411, where we share information parents need from sources they can trust. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of believing in your children and advocating for them tirelessly until they are able to do that for themselves. It is a tremendous gift we parents can give our children as we invest our energies in their development and seek out resources and opportunities for them to blossom into the person they were meant to be. It is one of many ways that we can demonstrate to them that they are worthy of consideration and respect, and that they should come to expect those things for themselves. I had the pleasure of connecting with today's guest when I made a presentation to Every Dot Black, a group of dynamic entrepreneurs, during their mastermind meeting. Aside from my professional experience in parent education, I spoke of my journey as a mother of twin sons and the ways in which I advocated for them over time to ensure that they were afforded the opportunities to which they were entitled. She said my story resonated with her because her mother was a strong advocate for her, and she credited her with putting her on the road to all that she has achieved today. Today's segment is Walking in Vision While Slaying the Odds. Joining me is Camille Richardson. She is founder and CEO of Blind Girl Vision. Camille was born blind, and she is a dynamic entrepreneur who has leveraged her many talents and intellectual capabilities to pursue various personal and professional accomplishments. Those who meet her, myself included, find her to be very warm, optimistic, and engaging. As I am sure she will relay today, life for her has been no crystal stair, taking a line from the poem by Langston Hughes. Yet, her testimony is one of positivity and perseverance. Camille realized that others could benefit from hearing her journey and witnessing her tenacity in action. In 2012, Blind Girl Vision was born. This global motivation movement allows Camille to use her voice and platform to encourage others to rise above adversity and lead the fulfilling lives they desire and deserve. Camille is also CEO and founder of IC Technology, an assistive technology company that teaches individuals who have recently lost their sight how to use the voiceover screen reading software on the iPhone. Welcome, Camille.
Hello, good afternoon.
Thank you so much for joining me today. So let's start off with you telling our listeners a little about yourself, like your family, where you grew up, your education, and those kinds of things.
I was born and raised in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I currently live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And as you said, I was born totally blind. And I grew up with my mother and my father and my two siblings, my sister and brother. And I graduated from high school, and I went to college and pursued a degree in broadcast communication. And then I went back to school and got my massage therapy license. And so I'm also a massage therapist to add on top of everything else I do. And I've been doing that for about 11 years. So, I've had a lot of journeys through education, and also, like you said, I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Right. So When we met, you talked about how your mother was a real champion for you growing up. So share with us some of the things she did and how she really looked out for you, and then the impact that it had on you as a child and then later?
Well, as I stated earlier, I was born completely blind. And so my parents found out when I was about 6 months old. And so my mom decided right then that she wasn't going to allow that to hold me back. So she started doing research, and I was born in the 80s. And, you know, there wasn't as much. Of course, the internet was not around and all of that. And I don't even think she knew anybody who was blind at the time. So she had to do her own research and forge her own path ahead. I mean, she even taught me, I remember she told me she even showed me how to drink from a straw when I was a baby, something that you don't even think about, you know, babies seeing to do, but she taught me how to do it. And she also created a preschool program for me and some of my other peers who were blind, because there was just nothing there for us. So she had to create all of this stuff from scratch. And another thing that she did was she did not shelter me. She allowed me to get my bumps and bruises. If I wanted to go outside and play with my sister and brother and all of our friends in the neighborhood, she didn't shelter me. And that taught me to be fearless. And she always encouraged me to go out and try new things, you know, be in the chorus in school, try out for even all county choruses and things that I love to sing. So she always encouraged me. She never told me what I could not do. If I told her I wanted to go fly a plane, she would be like, okay, well, I'm going to take you to the airport. We'll figure out how to get done. So that's the one thing I will say is she always encouraged me.
And so that really felt, you really felt more courageous as a result of her just championing your cause?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. She was always my biggest cheerleader. She was my biggest champion. When I was in school, she was my biggest advocate. She just made sure I had the tools that I need, be it educationally or, you know, being out in the community. She made sure that I had all the tools that I needed in order to be just as successful as my sighted sister and brother.
Okay. So now, what kind of challenges, if any, did you face, like, in the school setting? Something that I really want parents who have children who are blind and even educators, maybe some things that they should keep in mind. What were some challenges that you encountered in the educational environment?
Well, the one thing I will say that is very, very, very important is that it is extremely important to make sure that your child is included in all of the activities that their sighted peers are involved in. I was actually mainstreamed through most of my school career. I was in regular classes with all of my peers. I was, you know, when I was in elementary school, I did do some resource classes with the specialized visually impaired teacher, and she taught me how to do Braille and whatnot. But most of that, I was mainstreamed. So just being involved and making sure your child is not left on the sidelines. For teachers, making sure that if there is an activity, even if it's an art project, there are ways to be able to do it tactfully, or, you know, just figuring out ways for the child to be able to participate in all activities. Because it's extremely important, and it also helps develop those social skills that are so necessary.
Did you have a lot of friends when you were in elementary school and all of that?
I did. I actually had plenty of friends when I was in school. I was very fortunate. Yeah. I really enjoyed those years. They were a lot of fun. And also what teachers did was they, you know, had children sort of learn about me. They, if I needed assistance, the teachers would assign a student to work with me. So it made them feel like they were also being included in learning how to work with someone and interact with someone who might be a little different from them.
Oh, that's absolutely, and that's a wonderful way to teach empathy. And then, of course, obviously, inclusion and all of that. That's wonderful that they did that for you. So what was your experience like navigating your community, your neighborhood?
Let's see. You're having me think way far back. But when I was growing up,
we're going to move ahead soon.
No, when I was growing up, though, again, like I said, our house was the house that all the kids came over and played. So the thing about children is they're so resilient. They don't think anything about someone being different. They might ask you a question like, you know, what, why can't you see, or is there something wrong with your eyes? And I would explain that, you know, my eyes don't work. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, well, let's play. And your child is also one who shows what they are capable of doing, which the parent, you know, plays a role in that again by not sheltering them and allowing them to go out and interact with other kids, because they learn by watching. They learn by watching what I did and how I played.
Yeah, that, you bring up a very good point that, you know, children come into the world with a very open mind. It's not really until society tells them the way things are supposed to be and who is important and who's not important or who to value. That's when things get all clouded. But in the beginning, they're just so innocent and they're just open. They just want to embrace people and different experiences. And we really have to figure out a way to preserve that in our schools and in our families.
And if I could say one thing about that, too, even as an adult, children are so curious, and that's what I love about them. But I would also encourage parents to don't quell the children's curiosity. If they have a question about somebody, you know, we often want to shush the children whenever they're asking, oh, my goodness, is she okay, or what's wrong, or, you know, they see someone who looks a little different. Don't shush them. Allow them to ask questions. If someone wants to answer, because I don't mind when people ask. I don't mind when children ask me questions. I am so happy to educate and teach them and show them that there are all kinds of people who make this world go round. So I just don't want a parent to really stamp out their children's curiosity, because that's a natural part of being a child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how does what you're doing now as an adult compare to what you thought you would do when you were younger?
Well, it's a little different from what I thought I was going to do when I was younger. Because when I was younger, I just knew I was going to be on the radio. That was my dream. That's what I always wanted to do. I used to record my own radio shows growing up and everything. And I did do that for a hot little second. But I realized, too, when I was younger, I was much younger, and I started in that industry and realized that I wasn't my best advocate. So I had to venture out and pivot a little bit, and that's when I ended up getting a degree in massage therapy and getting that license, because at that moment it was kind of like a little plateau moment where it was just like, I don't know how I'm going to make it in this field because I'm not the best advocate for myself right now, but I'm going to go do something that cannot be taken away from me. But while doing that, doing massage, I realized that I still would be able to use my voice just in a different way, and I would be able to use it on a bigger stage. So that's how the idea for Blind Girl Vision came to be, because I knew that I wanted to still speak to people and allow my voice to be heard. It might not be behind a microphone. It would just be in person in front of people.
So, you know, before you launched Blind Girl Vision, in what ways were you holding yourself back, you think? And why do you think you were holding yourself back and not advocating for yourself?
Well, there comes a time, you know, I just didn't really know which way to move. Sometimes the world, even, you know, as someone who's blind, can feel so overwhelming and can feel like I don't really know how to make myself fit into this round hole as a perceived square peg. That's kind of how I saw myself. And I just didn't really know how to move around that barrier. And again, it was not through, it was just through my own angst and my own anxiety, you know? I just kind of went quiet so that I could think. That's why I took a step back. Cause I just decided I was going to do something way out of left field. Cause massage was so far out of left field, but being in those rooms and working with those people, I got a chance to kind of be quiet and really meditate and think. And then when I did get a chance to talk to clients, they all kept telling me, you have such a wonderful voice. You have a message that people need to hear. So I thought that it was a step off the beaten path, but really it led me back around to being able to use my voice through talking to other people while they're on a massage table.
Wow. Yeah, I can totally imagine that. From what I've learned of you so far, I could certainly imagine you being very successful at that, in that space. So let's see, let's talk about Blind Girl Vision. What is it all about?
So Blind Girl Vision is my motivational movement. It is my company where I empower people to live their best life in spite of whatever circumstance you may face. And I encourage people to use their gifts, whatever it is that God gave to you, use them. And I encourage people to take them out from that hiding place if you decided to hide your gift, because I hid mine. Like I said, I silenced my voice for a very long time because I just didn't think I knew how to use it, and I didn't think anybody wanted to hear it. So when I came up with Blind Girl Vision, I wanted to share my story, and I wanted to encourage people, and I wanted to educate people. So that's how it came to be.
So what kinds of programs or activities do you have that encourages people and motivates people? How do you do it?
Well, I usually work a lot of times. I love working with young adults and teenagers because I know that time. So I'm often finding myself speaking at places with them. I also speak with churches, and I work with organizations and, you know, like I said, I just wherever I am needed, I will go speak to, because there's always somewhere where your voice needs to be heard. I've even done corporate events. So everybody needs a little motivation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your primary work is through speaking and
yes,
just sharing your journey. Okay.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. And so you do talk to young people, you mentioned. Do you also talk to children who are blind and show them your example and to encourage them the way you do with the other people, that they should pursue their passions and share their gifts with the world?
Almost definitely. And that age group, again, teenagers and young adults, that's where I really like to be, because again, as a teenager, you're already filled with so much angst and you're already filled with so many questions and such anxiety. And then you add blindness into the mix. And I know how I was when I was a teenager. So when they see me, they see someone who has made it through, who has beat the odds and who has made it through those rough teenage years, as they call them. And I encourage them to hold your head up high. Be who you are. And don't dim your light for anybody. So I work with them, and, you know, they're able to really ask me questions. They're really able, they feel like there's somebody there who can relate to them because they've been where they are. I have been where they are. So it really gives me joy to be able to give back to them, because I did not have that when I was a teenager. Now I'm thinking back, I really didn't have an older adult who was blind who I could have as a mentor. So that's the group I really enjoy working with most, is teenagers and young adults who are blind and visually impaired, because again, I've been there. I know what that's like.
So, right. Well, that was something I was going to ask you too. Are there community organizations that for people who are blind and that you are connected with so that you can mentor, whether it's young adults and children or, adults? Are you connected with any organizations like that maybe you could tell our listeners about?
Well, here in North Carolina, I actually volunteered at the School for the Blind here, and I attended there very briefly. But I volunteer there and work with those students. And again, that just makes my whole day. I do it for free. Like, I would never ask for pay for that, because it just really touches my heart. So that's my main thing that I do, is volunteer at the School for the Blind. Also, there's a support group here that I'm a part of as well for people who are blind and visually impaired. And we learn about different resources that are available for us. We learn about, you know, we're able to speak with different city council members and representatives here about issues that affect us, such as transportation and whatnot. So there's, I am involved in groups like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, how has the current coronavirus crisis affected your work? Or has it?
Well, with my other company, IC Technology, that's the company that I work with people who are blind and visually impaired on using the screen reading software. I usually train in person, but of course, being in the situation that we are in right now, I've had to go into the virtual world. So I've been doing a lot of classes over Zoom lately. And it also made me realize that there are certain apps that people need to learn how to use, and they're especially useful for those of us who are blind and visually impaired, such as Instacart and Walmart and Amazon, which I need to leave alone because I've ordered way too much stuff from there. But it could be a lifesaver, especially during times like this. And it also gives us independence, so we don't have to wait for somebody to go to the grocery store for us. So I've been teaching people how to use those apps right now because they're really important.
And so prior to the crisis, what types of subjects or what types of content did you present on through IC Technology? What were you teaching people how to do?
Well, I taught people from beginning levels to advanced. Whenever someone, you know, when you get your iPhone, you and you can see, it's so fascinating and you absolutely love it. But then when you lose your vision, be it suddenly or gradually, all of a sudden you just have this really pretty piece of glass. And it's like, what am I going to do with this? So where I come in is I teach them that there's another way that you can use your phone through a screen reader called VoiceOver. And so I teach them the gestures. How do you navigate through the menus? How do you even open the phone? Some people don't even know how to turn the phone on when they get to me. So I teach them that. And just being able to teach them how to use even Siri and ask her to open up different apps for them and search for apps on the App Store. It just changes people's lives. Like, I get people who are elderly who come in and their grandchild gave them an iPhone and said, here, Grandma, you can use this. It talks. Well, they don't know how to use it. They don't realize you've got to be trained to do it. So to be able to teach them, and they're so nervous, they're afraid they're going to break it. They're afraid if they hit the wrong button, they're going to be locked out of their phone forever. So to even teach them how to send a text message or FaceTime their grandchildren, it is so life-changing for them. And to see that, oh, my goodness, I'll be able to use my phone again. It's so life-changing.
I'm sure. So then IC Technology is focused a lot, what was it, primarily on the iPhone, or is it other technologies that you
I do use? I do train on iPads, and I train on iPhones. I train on MacBooks, but for the most part, it is iPhones. And the reason why that is because everyone has a cell phone, you know? And that's the thing that you have the most. That's the thing that you're going to need even to get a ride somewhere. So I do work with people on their computers, like on their MacBooks and such, but I've noticed that my main consumers have been wanting to know how to use their iPhones and their iPads because that's readily available to them. Their phone is what they're going to be taking with them out and about. So they need to know how to use it. And they need to know how to communicate. That's their main mode of communication.
Right, right. So how busy are you now? What are your days like right now?
Well, right now I'm doing 3 days a week. I do Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from noon until 2 on Zoom because, again, this is a virtual platform. So it's kind of slowed a little bit, but I'm picking it back up. I started doing some marketing and such, but it has slowed a little. But I'm not stressing about it because I know that I will be getting my clientele soon. I've had a few clients. And like I said, I do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from noon until 2. So it has been, the past couple of weeks have been a little busy, but it took a minute.
Okay. So, you know, now to just tell our listeners a bit about you, like what you enjoy doing, what you enjoy doing with your friends, what you do for fun, those kinds of things.
Well, let's see, a little bit about me. So, of course, I love to travel. We cannot do that right now, but I love, love, love to travel, and I will find a way to get to that airport, even if I have to take an Uber there, fine with me. And I love to shop. I love going to the beach and with my friends. And I'm also a huge Netflix person. If I can find something to binge watch, I will. And okay. I'm discovering while in quarantine that I'm really enjoying cooking.
Oh, so, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
That is wonderful.
I make some wonderful spaghetti. Now,
oh, some wonderful spaghetti. Okay.
Yeah.
So now do you travel alone or with your friends?
Yes.
How do you do that normally?
Well, it depends. Sometimes, most of the time, I'm by myself, and I meet my friends and my sister wherever it is I'm going, wherever it is we're going to be. Because a lot of times, I'm the only one that lives in North Carolina. A lot of my friends and family live out of town, so we often meet each other wherever it is we are going to be. So a lot of times, I travel alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't bother me one bit.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I think that it's great for people to hear that and just to take heart that there are things that they can do as well to get out of their comfort zone. So that's great to hear. Now, what would you say are some things about you that people might be surprised to know?
What would people be surprised to know? Oh, this is very interesting. So although I am blind, my mom says this to me all the time, for somebody who is blind, you sure don't like to touch anything. And what she means by that is, if there is certain, like, I'm such a neat, neat person, and I do not like to get my hands dirty. So she's like, oh, feel these flowers. I want you to know how these flowers. I'm like, they're dirty. I don't want to touch them. So I do not like to get my hands dirty at all. Yes. And, you know, touching is a very huge part of being blind. So I always keep, now that we have hand sanitizer, you can take that with you. I keep it on deck. Yes. And I'm trying to think of what else might surprise people. Well, a lot of times people are surprised that I watch TV, but for me, that means that you listen to TV. And I speak in the standard vernacular because a lot of times you hear people, they're going to ask me about, oh, did you see that movie? Oh, my goodness. I'm so, so sorry. I didn't mean to say see. And I'm like, why not? I saw it.
Okay.
So I speak in the standard vernacular. I do not get offended by people using those words.
Right. And so I guess pre-coronavirus, then does that mean that you would maybe go to the movies with your friends? And do you experience movies that way, or how do you? Okay.
Yes, I do go to the movies with friends, and now movies have audio description available in the movie theater, so that's a beautiful thing. So now I don't have to ask people exactly what's going on. I can just get the little box and my little earphones and put it on and enjoy the movie just like everybody else because it's being described to me. So the technology, the technology has just come such a long, long, long way, even from when I was growing up.
Wow, that's fascinating. So what would you say is your proudest accomplishment?
My proudest accomplishment would probably be launching two companies. That for me is a very proud accomplishment because it was something that at first I never saw myself being an entrepreneur. I didn't know what it would look like or how it would be, but just actually getting out there and going past the fear of all of it and really making it work just made me proud of myself. I'm so used to living my life fearless and doing things and just making things happen. And when it came to being an entrepreneur, I was like, well, what am I afraid of? I will, you know, fly on a plane all by myself without even a second thought. But I'm afraid to launch a company. So I challenged myself, and I did it. I made it happen. So that is definitely something that I will say I am extremely proud of.
That's wonderful. So do you have any partnerships with other entrepreneurs or that whom you collaborate with what you're doing or other people that kind of support you in your business, helping to get things set up, and really I just mean providing the services and support that all of us need, anyone who's been cited team.
Right now my team for IT Technologies is my sister and brother-in-law. They are my team for that. Blind Girl Vision I've pretty much been doing by myself for a little while. It's had its good years and its not so great years. You know, of course, as an entrepreneur, sometimes you have your ebbs and flows, but it's just me at the moment. And I, right now, am perfectly happy with that. I am perfectly happy with that.
Right. So what are some things that you think you want to do in the future with Blind Girl Vision?
Well, until we can travel again, I will be doing, you know, I am planning on, if I can speak virtually, I would love to do that. Doing this has shown me that it can be done, of course. Being interviewed on the phone shows me that, you know, we can do things virtually, but everybody hasn't quite gotten that down quite yet. But I would, you know, love to work in a virtual space. It's something that's really interesting, and people see it right now as something that is not beneficial, but I see it as highly beneficial in the time that we're in right now. And again, with IC technology, it really works, because I'm able to still train people. They can still hear me. They can still hear what I'm doing on my phone, and they can follow along and still be able to ask questions. The only thing that I'm not able to do is physically show you how to, the gestures that are needed. That's the only thing I cannot do, is physically show you how to use the gestures. But I explain things pretty well, so people usually understand it. So, yeah, so that is pretty much the plan, is keeping everything virtual pretty much for the time being, until people get comfortable going back out in the world.
Right. And so for anything, any new introductions for IC technology, any new things that you want to do there?
I actually am in the process of creating a course that is, that will be downloadable on the Teachable platform, so that if you decide that you want to learn how to use your phone, you can go and download my course and actually be able to take it. It'll be a 6-week course that you can just go at your, it'll be self-paced. So I want, I am in the process of creating that right now. Because, you know, as much as I love teaching, somebody might need to, they might not be able to do it until 6 o'clock in the afternoon, in the evening. So they might want to just go ahead and download the courses and learn when they can learn.
Yeah, that's great to be flexible. So who are some of your heroes when you think about how you want to grow Blind Girl Vision or IC technology? Who do you kind of look up to or follow in terms of successful business people? Who inspires you?
Well, truth be told, one of my biggest inspiration really is my sister. She's also an entrepreneur, and she has actually created courses on her website. And so that's who I'm learning from, and that's who I'm getting my, you know, that's who I get all of my inspiration from, is her. She's been one of my biggest cheerleaders throughout my whole life and one of my biggest supporters. And so by us working together, she's also my partner in the business, in the IC technology business. So she's been helping me with that. And again, I learned what she's done. She's helping me, you know, to be able to iron out my course and get marketing tools together and such. So she is really one of the people that inspires me the most.
And have you had the occasion, I don't know if there are any organizations or groups that you might be connected with of other blind or visually impaired entrepreneurs? I'm not sure. Is there a network of,
Honestly, I have not, I have not, found any, but I am interested in creating that space for people. Because it's again, being an entrepreneur is not an easy journey, but being able to work with people who are blind and visually impaired, who are entrepreneurs, and, you know, have that support group in that space is something, especially here in North Carolina, that I'm interested in working on.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of looking to see, looking for that kind of thing, and I wasn't sure if I was looking in the right place, but there were a few organizations, and I actually want to share some resources for parents of children who are blind. The National Federation for the Blind, They have a wealth of resources and services and programs on their site. And so that is www.nfb.org. Again, that's NFB, when you think of National Federation for the Blind. That's a good way to remember that one. There's also Braille Works, which is www.brailleworks.com. That's spelled BrailleWorks.com. And they provide reading materials for the blind as well as parent resources. And, of course, there is the American Council for
the
Blind.
American Council for the Blind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've also looked to them for support? Okay. And that is www.acb.org for our listeners. And they, too, have a list of resources and programs. And then there's here in our area, the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, which is www.clb.org, and they have resources and services and programs as well that they can share. So you have what kinds of resources, or how has the American Council for the Blind helped you?
Well, I've worked with them. It was years ago, and again, they have helped me. I'm sorry, they were doing some work outside of my window. It's kind of loud. They provide a lot of resources. For me, it was more when I was in college and whatnot, educational resources and materials and such. They provided some of the audio books that I needed and whatnot. So that was my association with them.
Oh, okay. That's great to give an example of something. Now, and how about your reading materials for Braille and all of that? How do you access that?
Well, there is something, for me, I use Audible when I want to read for pleasure. But when I was in school, K through 12, I was actually provided with Braille books. They took up a whole entire room. I remember they called it the book room, and you went in there because Braille, one textbook could be 40 volumes in Braille. Those books are huge.
Okay.
But when I was in college, there was a program called RFB&D, and it was the Books for the Blind and Dyslexic. And they provided a lot of my books that were recorded. And nowadays, I'm sure they have books on flash drives and jump drives and such the like. But in order for reading for pleasure, there's also something called the Library for the Blind. And that is based out of Washington, D.C. through the Library of Congress. Each state actually has their own state library for the blind. And they send books for free through the mail. Or they send you a book player, and they'll send you a book on a flash drive or a cartridge. And you just call them or go online and create a list of books that you want, and they will send them to you. And they also have an app called Bard Mobile. And that allows you to download books to your phone, and you can listen to them. They do still have books in Braille if you want to read a Braille book for pleasure. But these books are, well, a lot of the books that I read are audiobooks.
Okay. And probably more and more people are turning to audiobooks, I would think. Is that what you find?
Yes. A lot of people I know use more audiobooks. If they do use Braille, they are using what they call a Braille display on their phone. There's a piece of hardware that you can use through Bluetooth and connect it to your phone, and it will display things in Braille. So you can actually go to Kindle and whatnot and read books that way if you want to read in Braille.
So let me ask you, so among your friends and associates, and you know people who are blind or who are visually impaired, what kinds of things are they doing? Like you're an entrepreneur. What kinds of things are they doing? Because I want our listeners to just have a sense of the breadth of options for their children or for themselves, anyone who's listening. What kinds of things are your friends or people that you know who are blind or visually impaired, what are they doing?
I have friends who are massage therapists. I have some friends who are teachers. I've actually met people who are blind who are lawyers, so that can definitely be done. You name it, we all do it. I also have friends who are also entrepreneurs in themselves. So I have friends all over that run the gamut. And then there are some friends who work in the workshops for the blind. There are workshops that are provided that create things for the military, different equipment for the military, and they work in those factories, and they help to provide that kind of stuff for them, so they do that as well. So there are all kinds of things that people who are blind can do. And with the technology and the information that is available out here today, it's just the sky is definitely the limit. And I also know people who are visually impaired who work with the state agency for the blind, and they work as independent living instructors, and they work as rehabilitation counselors. They also work as social workers for the blind. Run the gamut.
Social workers for the blind. I can imagine that is a very fulfilling, a fulfilling job, and certainly those services are certainly needed. I think, because I guess I wonder, too, if really there are mental health care professionals who can kind of address those unique needs, too.
Well, yes. A lot of times I was also one of those independent living instructors I told you about. But
okay.
We work with people, and we teach them how to live independently in their homes. And while doing that, you sort of also become a little bit of a counselor, because you're working with people who have recently gone blind, or maybe they've been blind for a while but never learned how to live independently. So you get to hear a lot of their stories, a lot of their frustrations, and we help them navigate through that. And it's really, really important. And while I was doing that, you know, I served kind of as a role model for them, because they see that life is not over. You can still live after blindness.
Yes. Well, you are certainly have a wonderful testimony of that, but showing that you certainly can continue and continue to dream, continue to pursue those dreams. And I mean, certainly with you being a founder and creator of not one but two companies, that's amazing. So, we talked a little bit about the pandemic and how it's affecting all of us. And I just see a lot of people on social media or in different places just asking, what do you want to do when this is all over? Like, what's the first thing you'd love to do after things open up?
When we can really go outside and play, I want to go to the beach, because I love the beach. I need to feel the I just need to sit outside in the sun, under the umbrella, and listen to the waves. I don't even have to get in the water. I just want to hear it.
Yes. I really do think I would be right there with you. Absolutely. That's what I would like to do. And that's something that I probably would have been doing right about now. I was just talking to my husband about that. This is what I thought I would be doing at this time,
like.
And now I'm just not sure.
Yes, this is teaching us all that we have to swerve a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. So I wanted to, before we close out, I wanted to share a little bit about what I have coming up at the Parenting 411. So I have some upcoming podcast interviews. I will be on the Every Dot Black podcast, which I'm very excited about. I will also be on another one called Take Five. And earlier this week, I was on a podcast with a person that runs an organization called Take the Lead. And so she focuses a lot on first responders, but she wanted me to come on and talk about how parenting has changed in the shelter in place time that we find ourselves in. So I talked about that. In fact, I'm going to be talking about that with a lot of people, it seems like, lately. I've been doing a lot of that. I have an upcoming television interview with Dr. Susan Kornbluth on Dr. Sue and You, and that's happening on June 3rd. And we're going to be talking about the lessons of resilience parents can show their children during the pandemic. And honestly, that is why I was really drawn to your story, because I believe that what you have done is just the picture of resilience. You have so much to show and share with other people about how you can overcome obstacles. And do you feel that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do I feel that I'm able to overcome obstacles?
No. Do you feel the impact that you can have on people
definitely.
And inspiration? Uh-huh.
Definitely. And sometimes, honestly, I don't even think about it, you know, especially when I'm teaching someone how to use their phone and I just tell them one simple command and they're just like, wow, you are amazing. You have no idea. And I'm just like, oh, because I never thought about something that I just do that just comes so easily, just change somebody's life.
Yeah.
So,
no, absolutely.
Yes, there are times where I feel it, but there are times that I don't, you know, there are times that I don't even realize the scope of the gift that I have.
Right. And you know, and just with the resilience, like, you know, things happen for us, for all of us. It's, you know, not just a matter of not having our sight or something like that, but, you know, things will come up in our lives and we feel like it's a real obstacle. And so you demonstrate that you don't have to give up your dreams and that you can find a way to get things done, or if you have to pivot, which I think we talked about a little bit as well, if you have to pivot to get there another way, or the experience that you might be having kind of shows you a new skill, something you didn't realize you had or that you were very good at, like where you talked about how you discovered your voice and the effect that it had on your clients when you were doing the massage therapy. So, you know, very often, that's what I talk to parents about, not only in the face of the current pandemic, but also other hurdles. And I post a lot about it. You've probably seen it, where I just try to talk about how to look at situations and circumstances that, you know, just aren't, that are unexpected, unpleasant, difficult, and just seeing how you can grow from it, how you can draw something positive from it, and maybe go in a new direction that you didn't even realize that you were equipped for.
Mm-hmm. That is very true.
Yes. So, yeah. So we have a few more minutes here. So I just wanted to remind everybody that I will post the show on carolmaletta.com. Give me a couple of days, but I will post this episode there for those that may have come in midway, may have not heard the whole interview. Please go to www.carolmaletta.com and look for the episode as well as previous shows. And let's see. So, Camille, do you have anything exciting coming up this weekend? Anything exciting coming up in your life that you want to share, whether it's in business?
Well, like I said, this weekend I'll be doing the same thing I've been doing and staying in the house. But I'm going to be providing a weekend training tomorrow, so I am really excited about that from 10 until noon. So that is very exciting. And that's pretty much it for the weekend. Like I said,
we're very limited
now,
where we can
that?
Go.
What's going to be the topic? What's going to be the topic of that training?
I'm actually continuing on with teaching people how to use the shopping apps. I call it Let's Go Shopping.
Okay. Yeah, that's been something. And I don't know about you, but something that I've been noticing with that shopping is that, you know, they have to make a lot of substitutions.
They do.
Do you notice? Is that you as well?
Yes, it's definitely me as well.
Yeah, and you know, and then sometimes too, finding the cleaning products that you want, the particular cleaning products that you want, can be challenging. But I will say, I will say that they have been. I will have to give them a shout out that the local stores, as well as Instacart, they have been definitely a lifesaver. I will say that generally, but you know, it's just like a lot of times, whoever I use, whether it's a local store or not, I get a little note, okay, we're going to have to substitute. They don't have that. And so
I get that all the time.
Yeah. So I think that maybe this weekend, I think I'm going to actually venture into the store with my gloves and mask and all of that. So how are you coming with all of that? Do you have all the gear that you need for going out and stuff?
I have masks, but I have not ventured into the grocery store since March because of my Instacart and because of friends and family who have been so very generous and have helped me out through this whole entire shelter in place. So I'm very fortunate that I do have friends and family who will help me. And if there's something I couldn't get on Instacart, they'll get it for me. Or if they happen to be in the store, they'll call me and let me know and ask me if I need anything. So I've been very, very, very blessed.
Well, that's good. That's definitely very good because, you know, it looks like we're going to be in this boat for a little while. And I think that, you know, speaking of how we respond to situations, I think a lot of businesses, just like you, the way that you've responded, and now that you're offering more courses online and just exploring the new technology and finding new ways to reach people. Now there are a lot of businesses that are examining their operating model and seeing how they can be more responsive to the market. So I think we all are in a place of having to reexamine the way we thought we were going to be doing business. So,
right. And yeah. I've also learned that you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable because this is not a comfortable time, but I feel like, you know, when you come out of this, you're going to be stronger than ever. So you have to embrace the discomfort for the moment.
Right, right. And I would imagine that, you know, when you're talking to people, that's the message that you drive home, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because when you don't see, when you've seen your phone and you don't see it anymore, it is quite uncomfortable. You have no idea what to do. So you have to trust your ears now, where you used to be able to trust your eyes. So, yes, I tell them, it seems overwhelming, it sounds scary, but once you learn how to do this, you're going to fly away.
Oh, you know, and actually, let's tell our listeners how they can find you.
So you can find me on Facebook with Blind Girl Vision. Twitter is the same thing. If you want to book me for a speaking engagement or have any questions about how to become a part of IC Technologies training, if you know someone who has need of the training, you can go to, for booking, is blindgirlvision@gmail.com. And the other one is SEE technology@gmail.com.
Okay. And I want to make sure that I include this on my site for my community group. So you said IC technology. Is it technology plural or?
IC technology 06. Yeah, it's technology 06 at gmail.com. Yes.
Okay, at gmail.com. Yes.
And then blindgirlvision@gmail.com.
Right. Yes, I had that one. So Blind Girl Vision, because I'd like to, include that in my recap today.
Okay.
Letting everyone know what the who I talked to today, and right. then letting and also when they can expect to hear the interview in replay in case they were not able to catch it today. Or like I said, mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people are listening. They're in transit. They're in their car. Probably not in their car for the full hour. So a lot of times they mm-hmm. come in and they catch things and not sure who was talking and all of that. So I always like to right. to offer it later, provide a link later so that people can listen to it. And I had really been looking forward to this interview because I believe that people will really be inspired, really be encouraged, not just now, certainly now, but I think in general. So that, right. you know, we just know that we can press forward even when there are challenges that are facing us. So thank you again, Camille. Thank you so much for joining today. And thank you to all of the listeners. Again, please feel free to visit carolmuleta.com. That's carolmuleta.com to learn more about what I'm doing. And I would like to also encourage you to please join my Facebook community group. And you can visit bit.ly, that's bit.ly/theparenting411, and join the community group because I will be doing training, offering webinars, and then also just allowing the community members to just share resources and ideas that they have found very useful in working with their children at home. And then also members can feel free to post questions there and just get support from other people who may have experienced the challenges that they're facing. And so we just support each other. So thank you again. And until next time, enjoy your weekend.
The silence is in.
Talk in the day. Like soul at night on the new 1010 WOLB.
At Big Lots, the neighborhoods we serve mean the world to us, and we're more inspired than ever by the heroes keeping those neighborhoods safe. As thanks, we're giving all first responders, medical professionals, commercial drivers, active military, and veterans 15% off everything. For curbside pickup, show valid work ID, CDL, military ID, or badge. Or on BigLots.com, use code BIGHEROES, because that's what you are, and we all thank you. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is Mary Miller, and I'm running for mayor. These are difficult times. The coronavirus has upended life for all of us in Baltimore. People are really worried about their families, their jobs, and businesses. First and foremost, we must follow our medical experts' advice to protect ourselves and our city. But when the health crisis is over, we're going to need a strong, experienced leader to help our city recover. From my time working for President Obama, I know how to do this. I know how to work with federal and state partners to get help to Baltimore. I'll use the city's resources and our business and nonprofit partners to make sure no one falls through the cracks. Together we can rebuild our city's economy to make it work for everyone. We will get through this. I'm Mary Miller. Stay strong and stay well. To learn more about my campaign, visit electmarymiller.com. Paid for by Mary Miller for Baltimore, Vernon Reed, Treasurer.
This is Tom Skerritt for the Borgen Project. Each year, nearly 2 million children die from preventable diseases. Each day, 30,000 people die from hunger. 500 each hour are children. The Borgen Project is turning this around. We need your help. To learn more, go to borgenproject.org. That's B-O-R-G-E-N project.org.
Who's most at risk for coronavirus? People over 65. People with underlying medical conditions like heart disease, chronic lung disease, asthma, diabetes, people undergoing cancer treatment, and people with weakened immune systems.
What should you do if you or a loved one is at higher risk? Avoid close